Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps once again. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today, talking about my favourite subject, gold. We're talking about Mako Gold. The ASX code is MKG, and it's been flying a little bit under the radar, I think, lately, which is why I'm excited to talk to the Managing Director, Peter Ledwidge, who's joining me today. And some of you may have heard my good friend Tony Lecantro, who I chat to every now and again. Tony talks about Mako Gold. Loves you guys, Peter, does our Tony. Welcome to Small Caps. Good to see you.
Thanks. It's nice to be on Small Caps.
Good. Well, Peter, before we get started, this is the first time you and I have had a chat. So let's start with a brief overview of who are Mako Gold. Where are you? What are you doing?
We're a gold exploration company working in Côte d'Ivoire, West Africa. And we've got two projects there. And then on the more advanced project, the Napié project, we're moving towards a maiden resource. And, you know, I can give you more details as we talk about this.
Great. Okay. Before we do, by the way, I don't know if everyone can see it, but there's a shark behind you. Is that a Mako shark, or is it looks like it's a great white?
It is. It's a great white. And
sorry, guys, I get distracted.
But in my office in the CBD, I do have a picture of a Mako shark on my wall as well. So if when you interview me there, you'll see the Mako shark. And that's the company. I'm a shark nut, and swimming with them, sometimes in cages. It depends on the species. That's why we call the Mako, because it's named after the Mako shark, which is the fastest shark in the ocean, which is a very successful yet careful hunter. So we try to emulate our namesake.
So you're hunting for gold, Mako Gold, hunting for gold in West Africa. Before we start on the projects, what's Côte d'Ivoire like as a jurisdiction? Are they pro-mining? Is it nice and calm? Because sometimes investors will say, oh, not sure about Africa, but I think this is quite a good jurisdiction, isn't it?
It is, and you know, some investors, they don't realize that there's over 50 countries in Africa, and West Africa is obviously quite prolific for gold. If you compare it, from the western part of the Birimian to from Senegal all the way to Niger, is about the same width as WA. And it's a host to 400 million ounces of gold that's been discovered there. So that's 70 gold deposits over 1 million ounces, and 40 of those are over 3 million ounces. So it's definitely elephant country. Africa, of course, elephants.
And you've been out there before, though, haven't you, Peter? You've worked in West Africa for some time.
Spent a lot of time there. More recently, I've spent the last 10 years there. And I was there, Anne and myself, the two of the original founders of the company, my spouse and colleague of almost 30 years. We were there in the mid-90s as well, working for Canadian companies. So we know it well. We speak French, which is the language of West Africa. So that's helpful. When you go in to have a meeting with the Minister of Mines, you see these a lot more relaxed because he speaks the language that he's more familiar with, and although they are usually bilingual. And it's a very pro-mining country. They came out with their mining code in 2014, and corporate tax is less than what we pay here in Australia.
Oh.
It's one of the most developed countries in West Africa. It's got paved roads most places. It sells surplus hydroelectric power to neighboring countries. So whereas in a lot of places in Africa, you have to generate your own power if you find a mine. On our property, we actually have a bitumen road, a hydroelectric line, and a river on these sides. So basically just add gold and away you go.
Just add gold. Well, look, talking about just adding gold, you've been working on this project for how long? Just explain to us how you found this particular project, because in the past you worked with Orbis, and ladies and gentlemen, for those that don't know, Orbis did do quite a nice return for shareholders, and you were very involved with that. But what was the journey to get to Mako Gold and the projects you're focusing on?
Well, first of all, creating Mako Gold is when Orbis got taken over. And after we made three discoveries, including the Ndatugu mine, which prompted the takeover by Semafo, who since then have been taken over by Endeavour. So we made three discoveries there, and then we've made two discoveries with Mako. So we've got two projects, the flagship Napier project and the Kohogo project, which those are permits that we applied for that recently got granted, and we've already started work on those. And then we plan on drilling those hopefully later this year. And so basically what we're doing with Mako is we started really in 2018 in earnest. That's when we did our IPO, but we signed a deal with Perseus Mining in 2017 and to do a farm-in JV. And since then, we've consolidated that deal so that we have 90% ownership.
Sorry to interrupt you, Peter. Was it a Perseus ground to begin with? And then you said, look, we think we can do something with this, and they weren't doing much. Is that what the background was?
It was. So to back up a little bit more, when we first created Mako off the back of our house mortgage on my dad, and so we went, Aaron and I went over to Africa, to West Africa, to Burkina Faso, where we'd had success with Orbis. And along with our Burkina partner, who's a co-founder, we got two permits there. And we needed something with more meat on the bones in order to do an IPO. So because I know that the mineral inventory, who's got what in West Africa. I knew Perseus had some tier two projects at the time. They were developing the Sisenge project, and I knew that they were going to be putting Yaouré into production as well. So they had some other projects that were very promising, but that they didn't have the mandate to work. So we approached them, and they were very happy to do a deal with us, proven explorers and so basically it was begging to be drilled, the Napi project. They'd done some RAB drilling and auger, soils, airborne geophysics, anything that a good explorer would do. And it had two historic RC holes in them that both had gold in them. So it was just a perfect fit for us. And since then, we've put about 50,000 meters, a bit more than 50,000 meters of drilling on it. And it's shaping up really nicely. And we keep getting good results every time.
And so where is Perseus sit now? You said that you're moving to 90% ownership of Nardi Project. What's the other 10? Where's the other 10%? Is that Perseus or...?
Yeah, so what happened, we earned into the 51% and we were on our way to earning up to 75%. That's by taking it to a feasibility. And so then we struck a deal with them where we would basically convert their ownership into shares in Mako. So as in any deal, it's got to be advantageous to both parties. So, the advantage that they get out of it is that they're exposed to any of the projects that we work on as well. And obviously they're focused on Côte d'Ivoire, we're focused on Côte d'Ivoire. So, it's a win-win situation for everyone. So as soon as the transfer decree comes in, as soon as the minister signs a transfer decree, we'll have the 90% ownership. And then there was a pre-existing JV partner, an Ivorian company, that had a pre-existing JV with Perseus. So that's the other 10%. And we're in talks with them to acquire that 10% as well. So we're shooting towards 100% ownership in the not too distant future.
But that hasn't stopped you continuing with the drilling and continuing expanding this resource. Is that correct?
No, we've been drilling furiously. Basically, we up until probably a year and a half or a little bit more, you know, we weren't speaking to the right brokers. We were just doing small raises, and so in effect, most of the work that we've done now that we've really hammered the project, it has been in the last 18 months or so. We spend our money fast. As soon as it comes in, we spend it, which keeps our G&A down. I'm not worried about stretching it out for my salary down the road. If I'm successful, you know, I'll have a salary and not worried about that. You get the money, you spend it.
Okay, yeah, but you spend it in the ground rather than corporate.
Exactly.
You've got about 15 million in the bank now, so you're not cash short. And I believe that, you know, because I just understand the corporate side of it a little bit, you've got about 8 million shares, which is about 2% of the company. So you've got skin in the game. So it's worth your while to make sure that this project keeps going. Before I go on to what the news flow is going to be coming forward, I think it's really interesting for us to let our listeners know that you've got a couple of strong institutional support in the form of, I think it was Dundee Goodman and Delphi. What was their reason for getting involved? Because I think they've got a substantial percentage of the company now. Is that correct?
That's right. We just did a $10 million raise tranche two, went in about 2-3 weeks ago, a little bit more. Wow. And it's an interesting story. I first attracted Dundee's attention at Mines and Money in London. I like to go in the investment battlefields. And I've won them before. And so I was in the finals in London, and Dundee Goodman was sponsoring the event. And I didn't win the final, but I got their vote. So everybody said, it doesn't matter, you didn't win, you got their vote. And you know, after that, we started circling each other, seeing each other at conferences. And on this last raise, they cornerstoned the $10 million raise and now have 9.9% of MACO. And we already had Delphi as a shareholder, but they ponied up big time. And now they have just under 13% of MACO, and they're out of Frankfurt. So it's nice to have that North American and European exposure.
Big congratulations on that. But because that to me just says that they're not stupid. They kind of know what they're doing, these guys. So they can see that there's value add to be had. Where do you think the value add is going to come? Now, you're getting good results, good grades out of the projects. Let's go through it in a systematic way, where you see the news flow coming, because I really want to understand the value proposition for people listening to this now as an investment proposition.
Yeah, I think right now it's really hard to get the market excited over gold projects.
That's when they should all be excited. I say this all the time. Don't come to the party when everybody else is excited. Now's the time to get excited. Sorry.
I totally agree with you. So I think one of the ways you get people excited is, you know, by coming up with good drill results. And we've been doing that repeatedly. And so
give me some examples.
Unfortunately, one of our best intersects, we got over Christmas last year, and we announced it on January 13th. It was 41 meters of 4.5 grams per ton, and it went largely unnoticed because everybody's still drinking beer on the beach. But having said that, we've been consistently getting really nice results like that. And so I think that's one way to stimulate, you know, the interest in MACO. But I think that the people that actually understand it, you know, kind of like Dundee, Delphi, and, you know, some of the other funds that we have in, they realize it's not about what you do this week, next week. It's, you know, what's going to happen when there's a re-rating. So when our resource comes out, I think that'll be, you know, a source for re-rating.
Speaking of the resource, sorry, I'm gonna be tough on you now. Your maiden resource has been a bit delayed, and I'm sure that people are possibly questioning why you've delayed the maiden resource.
Yes, it has, and I understand that some people are, you know, might be a little bit disappointed, but we think it's the right thing to do for all shareholders, and the reason for that is we keep getting good drill results. So what we did on the Napier permit, there's four different, actually there's five prospects, but we're concentrating on two right now, and the main one being the Chaga prospect, where we've got about 45,000 meters of drilling in it. So we just started drilling south of East-West Creek on it. So we've got two kilometers of mineralization outlined. And so we went south of that creek, and that East-West Creek is interpreted as being a fault. And sometimes what happens, you cross a fault and oops, you know, the mineralization is cut off. But in this case, it wasn't. And so we were pretty excited about that and thought, well, why announce a resource now? Because, you know, we're drilling south. Now, to add to that, if you go another 4 or 5 kilometers south, that's where our Gogbala prospect is, where so far we've got about 8 or 10,000 meters of drilling. And we've just, our latest drill results are on, you know, part of phase one of a 10,000 meter drill program on that right now. And so we're getting good results on that. We have gotten good drill results on it because, as I said, we were underfunded up until undercapitalized till about 18 months ago. We've just focused on the one prospect, but now that we're cashed up, it allows us to be able to focus on the other prospects. So we think that we might be able to add, you know, some of the Gogbala drilling to the resource. So that would be obviously a better story for when you're resource comes out.
Is this all along the same structure, Peter, or are we talking about separate, like, give me a visual of the geology and the size of it.
It is the same structure. So what we're dealing with is just to the east of the Napier permit, there's a regional fault that goes all the way into Burkina, and it's, you know, on West African Craton. I'm getting technical here. And
don't go too technical on me, Peter.
major fault. So then what happens when you have a major fault is you have a bunch of parallel faults and shears to that. And that's exactly what we're drilling. So we've got on our permit, we've got a 30 kilometer fault, which is basically the plumbing network for the gold bearing fluids. And then we've got some cross cutting faults, which is a really good place for the fluids to go and accumulate with the gold. So we get that 30-kilometer fault. Both Gogbala and Chaga are along that fault. And coincident with that fault, we've got a 23-kilometer plus 40 ppb soil anomaly. That's the work that Perseus did. So, you know, as a geologist, you try not to drill one anomaly. You know, two anomalies is better than one, three is better than two, and so on. So, and then we're doing some more work right now using some pretty high-end technical stuff to get that third tool in the toolbox to help us. And we've done geophysics and that kind of thing as well. So basically, the fact that, you know, both those Chaga and Gogbala are on that fault, it just lights up like a Christmas tree. And one of the things is we've got so many targets, and someone that was a little bit less disciplined than us might have just gone all over the place and drilled and probably gotten good drill results everywhere. But we knew that the company works on milestones, and that first milestone is really your maiden resource. And, you know,
so when do you think the maiden resource will be out? Sorry, we're running out of time, and so I want to make sure I've got so many questions.
Well,
When's the maiden resource coming out?
I don't really want to put a timeline on it because I don't want to be, you know, saying we're going to do it then, but. You know, we're not going to keep putting it off year after year sort of thing. So I think, you know, within the next 6 to 12 months, I think you'll see a resource on the ground.
Okay. All right.
Something nice.
If you compared this, and I look, you might not like this question, but here, we're going to throw it out there anyway. If you compared this to your days at Orbis and that style of deposit, which one's got you more excited?
Probably this, because it's got more you know, that 30 kilometers is pretty amazing. You know, when we were doing our IPO, we were comparing it to what's now a Barrick Lulo Gungoto. You know, that's got this regional fault and you know, two deposits, you know, that they add up to, I think, 14 million ounces. I'm not saying necessarily that that's what we're going to get, but what we think is that we're going to end up along that fault, you know, 3, 4, 5 deposits along that fault. And, you know, just picture Central Mill in there somewhere. And so as far as comparing it to Orbis, we had some good projects. Nabanga, we discovered 600,000 ounces at 10 grams per ton with lots of blue sky. But meanwhile, Anne likes to outdo me. So then her, you know, her and her team.
Ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't think of a better GM exploration I'd want on my team. And I'm not saying that because that's my wife. I've worked with her for close to 30
years.
Yeah,
she's got a very good reputation. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Orbis was good. And when you think about it, when I first went over to West Africa for Orbis, our share price was at 8 cents. Wind forward a few years, couple of discoveries, and get a resource, and it gets taken over, you know, 71.2 cents, you know. Mako,
I remember that well.
Mako's sitting around 8.5, 9 cents right now. You put the picture together yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're just saying, aren't we? But listen, do your own research, but we're just saying. All right, we're running out of time, Peter. I've loved chatting to you. This is a massive structure, ladies and gentlemen. It's been flying under the radar. That's why I was really keen to get Peter to come on and talk to you, because this is what we do at Small Caps. We find these little gems and bring them to you so that you can do your research. Peter, I'm going to finish up with what I always do with people. Three reasons why our beautiful investor audience out there should be sitting up and taking notice of Mako Gold, ASX code MKG, right now.
Okay. Number one, our track record. So we've done it before. We're trying to do it again. When I invest in projects, I want to have faith in the management. I want to have faith in the project. I'm very slow to do business development. You don't see me getting permits every day. And you got to select the right projects in order to be successful. So that's the first one, our track record. The second one is the great drilling results that happened right from IPO when we started drilling. We've been getting these nice, wide, high-grade intersects, and we keep getting those. We don't get them in every single ASX release. Sometimes people get disappointed if we get 6 meters at 7 grams.
Goodness, that'd be legendary over here in Australia.
Totally. And overall, you know, we're building that picture and building the potential mineral inventory. And then the third one is we're fully cashed up. We get with that raise and the money we had, and we just sold our Burkina project to our discovery to Norgold and got about $950,000 in the bank for that, plus retaining an NSR on there. So we've got about $15 million in the bank. So that gives us a clear runway to really advance a project fast. And that's what we're doing. And you know, for those people that say, why do you raise $10 million now? When you raise $10 million less than a year ago, it's because we spend it fast and it all goes into the ground. And that's the only way you're going to find those deposits is if you put that money into the ground. Companies have made it to drill bit.
That's exactly right. And no better way to finish up by saying that's what they're doing. They're putting the money into the ground on the drill bit. Peter, it's been absolute joy to speak to you. Lots of news flow coming up, ladies and gentlemen. And as I said before, flown a bit under the radar, but here you are on Small Caps. It's been great to see you. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to the news flow going forward.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kerry.